So let's start off talking about the new housing development. A new housing development is replacing a mobile home park in the city's on the city's west side. What will that development actually include?
Well, we're excited about this. The mobile home park has had some challenges over the last few years. It was even though there were some residents in there, we actually had it was an area that really needed some cleaning up, and it's surrounded by some very nice homes. And so we're excited about this. Private developer has come in, and they're going to start on this very soon. But they're building 44 duplex apartments. So mostly one bedroom, but some two bedroom. And this is all privately funded. There will be these will be market rate rents. So we, you know, this was a multi-million dollar, I think somewhere upwards of $6 to $8 million of investment, private investment here in Kokomo. So we're very excited about that.
What's the timeline on the project?
They're starting on it here very soon, removing some of the mobile homes that are still in place, and then they're basically going to almost create their own subdivision there. So, but construction should begin soon. I couldn't give you the completion of the first units, but last I knew, I thought it was sometime by the end of the year.
Okay. Is the city providing any tax benefits to that company?
We're not. This is all privately funded, no incentives. They came to us about a year or two ago. They were kind of looking around. They're a Chicago firm. But had heard good things about the Kokomo market, and we looked at some different areas that would meet their acreage requirements, and they chose this one, and we helped to really kind of partner up the two parties.
What will happen to the people who are still living in the mobile homes?
Well, they've even offered to, if I think most of them are rentals, there were a few owner occupied, and they've even offered to move them and relocate them. So.
Okay. This situation kind of exemplifies what a lot of cities are going through. You know, they're getting younger people moving into the cities and having higher demand for apartments. How do you make sure that you are meeting that demand but still providing affordable housing for people who might have been living in those mobile homes?
Right. Well, it is difficult. We announced a couple months ago that we have a new tax credit housing project that will be going up on the east side of Kokomo. And so now that will be begin construction this August. Probably will take a year to complete. But, so we're trying to do all aspects, make sure we have every base covered from middle-income apartments, low to moderate-income apartments, and then we're working on a couple of projects, hopefully will come to fruition, on some more luxury-type apartments. But the most important part about this is that it is a redevelopment of an area that could use a little shot in the arm and cleans up an area that had not had much investment over the last couple of decades.
Speaking of cleaning up, the state has been in the process of this blight elimination program, really just demolishing old properties that have been abandoned or foreclosed on, and Kokomo has received part of that money. Where does that process stand right now?
Before we received the grant, we had to identify the parcels and provide the information on the homes that we were looking at. That's all been completed. We have set it out. We're kind of putting the bids out through the Board of Works, and we're kind of lumping the four or five in certain neighborhoods and putting them together as a package, hopefully to get a more favorable bid as opposed to doing that individually. And so we've kind of started lumping those together, and I don't think the first home's been taken down, and I'm honestly not sure if the first bid has been awarded yet.
Okay. Today, the Office of the Special Inspector General of TARP, that's the federal money that was initially used to help alleviate some consequences of the financial crisis, they issued a report that basically said this blight elimination program needs additional oversight because there really isn't a whole lot of reporting that has to go on back to the Treasury, which administers the program. How much do local governments like Kokomo actually have to report back to the state on how this money is being used?
Well, this is, I don't know that there's, we've already identified to receive the grant. We had to identify the parcels. I haven't heard from anyone in our controller's office that it's too burdensome at this time. I'm not familiar with exactly what additional reporting requirements they might be suggesting or requiring now. So I'll have to kind of look into it. But, as long as it's reasonable, I completely understand they want to make sure that the parcels identified are the ones that we go through and remove.
Yeah. One of the recommendations was also setting out kind of goals or benchmarks to show whether the program is successful? Because right now there really aren't any kind of requirements or, you know, boxes to check off to say it's been successful. How would you describe success? You know, what would you like to see in your community to say this program has actually helped?
Well, I always, whether it's through any type of grant or if it's just through our code enforcement, anytime we remove a structure that's beyond repair and has become a nuisance to the neighborhood, that is never our end game. It's always important for us to, that's a step in the process. We always think it's important to find a reuse and a repurpose and a redevelopment plan, whether it be residential again, that would stabilize the rest of the neighborhood, or sometimes if it's, you know, lumping parcels together to become commercial areas or what have you. But blight elimination is only one step in the process.
Okay. The Kokomo baseball team, the Jackrabbits, are supposed to have their first game in about a month here on May 30th, their first home game, I should say. Is that going to be possible with the construction and the fact that you guys still haven't resolved your issue with FEMA?
We have. We're in the process of, the city of Kokomo has sued the Indiana Department of Homeland Security. The whole beginning of this process, feel like we complied with the terms and conditions of the grant. The grant says you can build gazebos, pavilions, picnic shelters. The grant says you can build golf courses, sidewalks, ball courts, and associated foundations. It also says you can build public restrooms. We're talking about total parcels or total amount of the project that we're squabbling over is less than 0.5% of the entire project. So it is a very small piece of this. So we feel like we've complied. Whether we resolve the legal parts before the beginning of the season or not, that's to be, that maybe we will, maybe we won't. But if you read the terms and conditions of the grants, we feel like we're in compliance. And if this lingers on and continues, we feel like we'll be successful in the courts.
So even if this isn't resolved before that first home game, could you still have the game at the stadium?
Yeah. Keep in mind that we're only talking about 0.5% of the entire project. So the few parcels that we're talking about, you have to remember there were 82, 84 parcels in the entire project. Two are off-site that they talked about. And then you're only talking about where we were going to put the public restrooms for the stadium are on just really 3 or 4 parcels that are in dispute.
So does what still needs to be done construction-wise, too?
Well, keep in mind, we've been moving along as quickly as possible. It has cost us a little bit of time. But if you went by there today, I think they're going to start installing the seats this week, putting up the railings and those things, and we're in the process of preparing the fields.
Okay. So the EPA has put an area in Kokomo on its Superfund list. That means it's a contaminated area that they think is a priority that needs to be cleaned up. What does Kokomo have to do now as a part of that process?
Well, this was something that's been, we were on the list, and they've been doing some monitoring and checking of the site and the areas surrounding the site for a couple of years now. Really, Kokomo doesn't have too much input on it. This is an EPA site. Our water utility is privately owned through Indiana American Water. So they've probably played a bigger role than we have on just as they monitor any of the water tables in the area and evaluate things. So. Our scope, obviously we keep an eye on it, but our participation in the whole process has been very, very minimal at this point.
Okay. Tell me about the legislative process. So the legislature is wrapping up here in the next couple weeks. What issues are you keeping your eye on?
Well, my role, play dual role, obviously the mayor of Kokomo, and then I'm first vice president for the Indiana Association of Cities and Towns. So we're keeping an eye on probably the biggest thing is the budget for the 2-year cycle. There's been some changes to the funding formula for urban school districts compared to suburban and rural. We've kind of had our say in that. There's some annexation language, which would make it very difficult for cities to go through the annexation process. So those are really kind of keeping an eye on the big items and make sure You know, we're just a week away or so from completion of the session to make sure that you know, the cities have you know, aren't hurt too much through this legislative process. The, probably the biggest one is the Regional Cities Initiative that was proposed by the governor. IACT came out and supported that. We think it, this is a something that's important to our state, is to have high quality, thriving cities. And but we don't know if that's going to be funded or not. So that's probably the budget item that we're paying most closely, paying attention to most closely.
If they did fund it, what would that money actually go toward?
Well, it's, it provides for some local match, and it's for regional cities, and they're looking for partnerships with multiple cities in regions. So they, you know, the proposed legislation would target two cities the first year. But for things that would help you know, for economic development, quality of life, enhanced communities, and it's really kind of a broad scope of things that could that the money could go for. But the important thing is that the state would be an active partner financially into the regional cities.
Okay. And tell me more about the annexation. Why is annexation a major issue for cities?
Well, it's something that it's the natural progression as cities grow and neighborhoods pop up. A lot of times they you want to tie into and need to tie into city utilities, whether it be sanitary sewers or water, or in some cities electric. And so they need those services. And it's important to make sure that that growth is captured. So cities from time to time have to reevaluate, you know, what neighborhoods have popped up. And we always call it the Swiss cheese effect sometimes, where cities, if you don't annex at the right times, you end up with pockets or holes inside your city where people are completely surrounded by the incorporated area. And so that's it's just important to have that ability to do so. And it also is important for economic development opportunities that may come up. A lot of times for large commercial or industrial development, they require city utilities. And so it's important that we're able to capture that as well. If we have to extend those utilities, that we're able to make sure they're part of the city as well.
Why would the legislature want to scale back that process?
Well, obviously they hear the counter side that they apparently are listening to are the people that live very close to the city on the fringe or maybe on border of the city that just really don't want to be in the city. but obviously if they live, you know, if they live close enough to it, they're probably reaping some of the benefits.
When you say they don't want to live in the city, you're saying they don't want to pay city taxes.
They don't. In some cases, that's the case. I mean, obviously, the further away you are, the less likely that you're using city services on a regular basis. But the closer you are, the more likely that you're driving on city streets on a regular basis. You know, getting the protection, whether you're in the city shopping or what have you, for police protection, or utilizing city parks.
The State Historic Preservation Conference is being held in Kokomo this week. Why was Kokomo selected for that?
Well, we think we have a good story to tell, and I think they recognize that. We've over the last few years, we've been able to save a lot of historic buildings, and that's not just with the city of Kokomo, a Kokomo school system. They preserved and remodeled the, this year it's 100 years old, Central Middle School's auditorium. We've made it a priority to preserve these historic buildings and try to showcase that with some of our other developments. Our new trail system that we've put in downtown wanders through some of those areas, and we've tried to recognize that with proper signage and things.
What can other cities learn from Kokomo in this process? Obviously, this takes a good bit of investment that a lot of cities simply don't have.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously, I always tell people that we all know what things cost, but very few recognize what things are worth. And we think it's important that we invest in our community as a city. And if we don't do that, then you really can't expect an outside person to invest in your community. So anytime we have a chance to do things like paths and bike paths and walk paths, it creates a healthier lifestyle or an opportunity for a healthier lifestyle. We try to tie it in and leverage that to clean up blighted areas. And in a few cases, you know, we purchased the historic train depot last year. and the former Apperson Automobile Factory, and we're looking at ways to redevelop those parcels as well to preserve their historic value.
Last thing is just kind of a fun spring thing. The Kokomo Farmers Market has seen a real growth in the number of vendors. I think it's 20 vendors this year.
Yeah.
What do you think has spurred on that growth?
Well, I think it's the commitment from some of the community partners, St. Joe Hospital, Ivy Tech, Howard County Government, City Government. We've collectively made it a priority to see it succeed. So they've done a great job of marketing. We're one of the few that we're very selective on what types of vendors that will be included. They made it some other special events to tie in with the Humane Society and some other special projects from time to time that make it worth coming back to every week.
Does it still have room to grow?
Absolutely. I think I hope no one is content with the success that we've had, but only the desire would be to build on that.